Okay, Bruchem Aboyim, and we begin now part three of our series on the Middah of Ka'ah. In our previous two sessions together, we looked at the Sheirish of the Middah of Ka'ah. The Sheirish of the Middah of Ka'ah, when we said, is very much Reish Verisha in the Middah of Gaiva. We spoke last week about the Sheirish in turn of the Middah of Gaiva, which is a lack of emunah, ultimately, in the Rabbeinu Shleilo. So when we are trying to be mechavik ourselves in this middah of Ka'ah, if we trace it to its source, then really what we are trying to work on is the middah of Gaiva and Anova, which in turn is absolutely based on how much we feel and live with the notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach, He runs our life, and whatever happens to us is orchestrated and all directed by the Rebbeinu Shleilo. And that is what we discussed in the previous 2 weeks until today. It is well known in the Mishnah in Avos, the Mishnah describes various levels of Ka'ah. Not everybody who gets angry can necessarily be categorized in the same group. The Mishnah describes there is one person who gets very easily angered, and yet it's very difficult for him to calm down. You have somebody who's difficult to anger, but in turn, at least, it's easy for him to calm down. You have somebody who is easy to anger, difficult to calm down, all combinations, and of course the highest is the one who is difficult to anger and easy to calm down. That is the model that the Mishnah in Avos teaches us. That the Mesillas Yesharim, in the 11th parak of his Sefer, he goes into the detail slightly more. And of course, it's very much based on the Mishnah there in Avos. And the Mesillas Yesharim says, going from the worst to the best, there are those, he says, who get angry. Al kol dovah sheyasu neged ritzoyne. They get angry at anything that is against their will. Anything which was said to them, which was done to them, which wasn't quite what they wanted, they get angry. Umismalei chema. And not only does he anger easily, but he gets very angry when he does. Of course, those words, when Mr. Yisrael writes that he gets angry at everything that was done, neged ritzoinoi, of course, points to us the middle of Gaiva. The bigger the Baal Gaiva, the bigger his ritzoinoi, the more insulted he is when those ritzoinoi are not met. So this is the person who gets easily angered and gets very angered at the time. So much so that the Mesillas Yesharim writes, if everybody could just please ensure that they're muted. So much so that the Mesillas Yesharim writes that a person like that is capable lahachrid ha'olam molei. He is capable of destroying the world in year Yecholes B'yodoy. If he were only able to destroy worlds, he would do so in his rage. Why? As Mr. Sharma explains, and we have discussed this in the past, Ki ein haseichel sholet boi klal. Because he is no longer within the realms of seichel. Seichel is not dictating what he does, rather it's his own inflated ego which has manifested itself in anger, and therefore the sky is the limit. There is no limit to what he is capable of doing and destroying in his rage. That is the most severe form, the highest level of Ka'ah. The Mr. Sejarim says there is another level, a lower level, and that is Loi al kol dovo. He doesn't admittedly get angry at everything that happens against him, it's not like the first person who gets angry at everything. And unfortunately, I think we all do see these types of people from time to time. They always seem to be angry with someone or something. That's the first level. But the second is somebody who doesn't necessarily get angry at every single person. However, once he does get angry, he gets very angry. So he is the person who maybe is, as described by the Mishnah in Ovos, kosher lichos. He's perhaps more difficult to anger. But when he does get angry, he is mitmalei chemo, he gets very angry, and once again, seichel goes out the window. There is, says Mesudas Yeshorim, a madrega which is lower than that. And that is, not only is he difficult to anger, but even when he gets angry, he is only koyeh muot, slightly angry, for a short period of time. And he writes quite clearly, the Mesudas Yeshorim, this is what the Mishnah is referring to when it says, kosher lichos, difficult to anger, v'noyach lirtzoy, and easy to appease. Now he writes something over here which is very, very critical. He says, this is chelek toiv vaday. This is certainly a commendable madrega. Somebody who is difficult to anger and easy to calm down when he does get angry is a commendable madrega. Why is that a commendable madrega? Listen to these insightful words, very important words of the Mesudas Yesharim. Because he says, Ki teva ha'odom, it is the natural way of man, mis'oirer lichos, to be aroused in anger. This is a crucial line in understanding the middle of anger. The Mesudas Yesharim clearly writes that to be koyeh, to get angry, is teva ha'odom. He doesn't bring the proof, but the obvious proof is, look at the young child. If ever you want to see what does man look like when his midos are not worked upon, look at a child. A child gets angry. Woe betide if his supper doesn't arrive on time. Woe betide if the young baby is not nursed on time. Woe betide if somebody takes his toys away, and woe betide if his sibling got a chocolate that was 1 millimeter bigger than his. That is teva. That is the natural way of man. And by the way, this is not theoretical. We see this every day, Baruch Hashem. So either way, this is teva. You see this in children. The tragedy is that you see some people who are 40 years old or 60 years old or 80 years old who are still children. That's the tragedy. Which means they are still going with their teva and have never worked on their midos. Says in the Mesudas Yesharim, therefore, if we are to understand that it's teva ha'odom, it is a natural phenomenon to have a netiya to ka'as, then clearly we understand that somebody who has worked upon himself to the extent that he has reached the madrega, that he is difficult to anger and easy to appease, that's clearly a commendable madrega. That's clearly a commendable madrega. So much so, the Mesudas Yesharim refers us to the famous Gemara in Chulin, in Peites, Toila ele eretz al zlimo. And the Gemara says, Ein ha'oinam miskayin. The world survives. The world is sustained in the zechus of those who are boiling pig b'shas meriba, who are able just to keep their mouths closed at the time of argument. We all know what it's like when we've been upset or insulted, or embarrassed or shamed, and we are tempted to say or to do or to react or to respond, at that moment we have the choice to either ruin worlds or to be Mekayim worlds. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. The person who has on his lips the smart comment, the angry response, the angry remark, the angry response, and doesn't say it, and doesn't act in response, he is the Mekayim Kol Ha'olam. It is in the zechus of people like that the world is being sustained. There is a theoretical madrega which is even higher than this, and it's almost irrelevant to discuss it. But Chazal make mention of it, and Chazal tell us, and Mesir Sishorim says this in conclusion, there existed a personality, the great Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken was on a higher madrega still. We have surely discussed the highest madrega. Somebody who is difficult to anger and easy to appease. Says in the Mesir Sishorim, that's not quite the highest madrega. The highest madrega is that of Hillel HaZaken, who was not kosher lichois. He was not difficult to anger. He was impossible to anger. And that's an altogether different madrega. Somebody who is kosher lichois, somebody who has to make a mammoth effort to keep his mouth closed at a time of machlokes means he feels angry, but he's able to control it. And as the Mesir Sishorim says, that is a highly commendable middle. It's a higher middah still not to feel that anger in the first place. And it's clear that that must be the case, because ultimately the Mishnah does say there are four levels of anger, and one of them is the kosher lichos v'noyach lirtzei. So you see that he is after all categorized as one of those who gets angry, as opposed to Hillel HaZaken who doesn't. So we must be realistic with ourselves and know that to aspire to the level of Hillel HaZaken is perhaps an impossibility, especially when at the end of the day it is teva to feel anger. So really discussing not so much about whether you feel it or don't, but rather how you react to it. So let's try and suggest a practical, albeit not so easily implementable, tip for dealing with chaos. Of course, the ultimate way of dealing with chaos is, as always, to attack the shayrish. The shayrish of the middle of chaos, as we mentioned, is gaiva, a lack of emuna. The stronger one the emuna is, the less one is about gaiva, then for sure you will get less angry. But Reb Chaim Friedlander discusses with us a very practical, but as I mentioned, tip that needs to be worked on, and it's not an overnight job. And perhaps the best way to explain it would be as follows. There is a passage that says, the tachbulois tasa l'chol l'chomo, with strategy you shall do battle. Which battle is this talking about? The Mepharshim say this is obviously dealing with the ultimate battle that we are all involved with on a day-to-day basis, and that is the battle against our arch enemy, the Yetzer Hara. We have to come with a strategy. Merely to say it's true, the Yetzer Hara got the better of me the last 842 times, that this time is going to be different, is unrealistic. With all the will in the world, one has to come with a tachbula. One has to come with a smart strategy. And you know who the best one to learn strategy from is? None other than the Yetzer Hara himself. Learn from the Yetzer Hara. In fact, don't we say every day in Shema, B'chol Levovecho? And what does Chazal say? B'shnei Yitzrecho. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your Yetzer HaTov and your Yetzer Hara. As Dessler explains, how can you possibly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Yetzer Hara? And the answer is, learn from his ways. Learn from his ways. So let's try and learn from the ways of the Yetzer Hara. Imagine, and this can obviously play out in so many different scenarios. Imagine you see a flyer which has been posted through your door describing a tragic tale, Nebuch, somebody was nifted at a young age, left young children. Only a heart of stone could just ignore that and be indifferent. And so, of course, all of us, Klal Yisrael, Rachmonim b'nei Rachmonim, Goyim le'chassodim, what's our first reaction? I must give something to help out this campaign. Nebuch was a young almona, Nebuch was a young Yisraelim, and we're all charged up, and we're all determined to help out. The Yetzer Hara sees that we are so determined to do so, there is no way that he can convince us otherwise. Try as he may. So do you know what he does? He tells us, he employs a different tactic, and he says, you're quite right, you must give, but not now. You can wait a little bit. After all, you're very busy dealing with A and B and C, those all very, very important things. The Yetzer Hara has plenty of experience, and very successful experience, and he knows that once you wait, even if it's just 30 seconds, kal vachomer if it's longer, then all that is over has come and gone. And so that after a while, it becomes a distant memory. I wanted to give, it didn't quite work out, I can't remember the details, I don't remember where the flyer is anymore. That's one of the Yetzer Hara's prime tactics. So let's now try and learn from the Yetzer Hara. There you are in shul, expecting an aliyah. After all, you ask the gabbai in shul, don't forget you have yahrzeit today. And would you believe it, the gabbai forgot. And this is the yahrzeit, and you did not get the aliyah. You can hardly wait for the end of davening to unravel, to unleash. In fact, you spend most of your davening thinking, what should I say first? Imagine if we would learn from the Yetzer Hara, B'tachbulot asei l'chol mulchomo, I will react. After all, I'm deeply upset, why didn't I get the aliyah? But imagine if we would only say to ourselves, I will react, I'm going to call him up in half an hour. Instead of marching over to him and making a public scene immediately after davening. That is b'shnei yitzarecha. We are learning from the Yetzer Hara. Just like when the Yetzer Hara sees that I am charged up l'dvar toiv for a mitzvah, and he tries to calm down those flames by just getting me to delay and wait, procrastinate a bit. So too we have to employ the exact same tactic, but in the opposite direction. Even when we feel that anger is justified, and on occasion, it may well be. Even on occasion like that, but surely, if we would employ the tactic that the Yetzer Hara uses against us, then how much better off we will be. Now I know, all the way from Goldsbury, London, that my father is sitting here, joining in our vows. When we were young children, I remember my father used to say to us quite often, whenever we said something stupid, which was quite often, my father used to say, you know, next time you want to say something, before you say it, perhaps count to 10. And if it's important, then count to 100. So for years I had shver, very difficult things. I don't understand, chayav is a big kasha. I would have said the opposite. Maybe you should have to wait normally and count to 100. But if it's important, then you only need to count to 10. Ipcha mistabra. Again, my father told me the opposite. Count to 10, and if it's important, count to 100. But I think I understand now. Because more often than not, when you count to 100, and you get to the end, you realize that actually, it wasn't so important after all. And on Google, this is the Yetzer that we're learning from the Yetzer Hara. Those few seconds can make all the difference. When we're all charged up, like we said before, the seichel is not shoylet. And inevitably we say things that we regret, but it's too late. They've been said, and words cannot be retracted. If we would employ the tactic of the Yetzer Hara, just wait, whether it be a personal insult, or even in a situation where, for example, a teacher has to be mechanech a child, where a parent has to be mechanech a child, and it might well be, under some circumstances, that anger is justified. But invariably, if the reaction is instant, it might well be regretted afterwards. B'shnei Yitzarecho, if we would just think to ourselves, I will have to react. I feel that it's justified and necessary to say something or to do something. But imagine how much better off we would be if indeed we would try to delay. Now, I want to explain. Imagine somebody steps on your toe and you're about to yelp in pain. So what are you going to say to him? You can yelp in pain, but just count to 100 before you do so. That's clearly an impossibility because that's a reaction. That is not premeditated. That's not what we're talking about. In order really to deal with the reactionary cast, then this Eitzah we've just mentioned is totally impractical. There, the only Eitzah, and the ultimate Eitzah, is to tackle the Shoresh and work out why was that the reaction. Perhaps my ego is overinflated. Perhaps I don't really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha process. But even in the event when perhaps I'm not holding on that level, and I feel that anger is justified, and I have to react, I have to say or do something in response, we're not talking about the angry reaction now. I'm going to say to him something after davening, or after this particular event, or after this meeting, or whatever it may be. As long as we feel ourselves, in all honesty, that we're still bubbling, the chances are we're going to end up saying something that we regret. And then it's too late. If we employ the tactic of the Yetzer Hara, who says, just wait a little bit, procrastinate. I'm going to first go home and then give him a call and give him a piece of my mind. Even then, one has to try and do so with seichel, but the chances are that less damage will be done. The Mesillas Yesharim, in conclusion, tells us that even on occasion when we do have to get angry, that he talks about ka'as haponim as opposed to ka'as halev. And this is of course extremely relevant to a teacher, a parent, who might on occasion genuinely need to show ka'as, but he needs to show it but not feel it. Because if he feels he's reacting out of anger, then that's a very, very dangerous tactic. If it is cast upon it, he's able to genuinely say, my lathe, I'm in control, but I do after all need to demonstrate a lesson. For that reason I will have cast upon an external car, then that's a very helpful tip in dealing with cars. Let me just tell you in conclusion a story that I was once privy to when I was in Koinol in Yerushalayim a number of years ago. And I've never forgotten this story, and I think it's a very profound story. When I was in Koinol, there was the one occasion, unfortunately, a not very pretty argument that erupted between two of the Avreichim in Koinol. I don't remember what it was about, it doesn't matter. Reuben and Shimon. And it got to a point when Reuben, out of anger, clearly said something extremely hurtful to Shimon. And off he stormed. Shimon was deeply upset, embarrassed, this was in public, insulted. And there were a few of us sitting round him trying to console him. And he was, to an extent, inconsolable. He said, I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe that Reuben said this to me. How could he say such a thing? And to do so, Barabim as well. And people tried to say, he didn't mean it, or maybe he misunderstood. No, I know exactly what he meant. And eventually he said, you know, Reuben who said this to me, he's a mushchet b'midos, which means he is corrupt in his midos. That's how upset he was. Upon which, one of the other Avreichim tried again to calm him down and say, you know, he's not a mushchet b'midos. It's true he said something very hurtful, but he's not a mushchet b'midos. He just didn't think properly before he said it. Upon which, there was another Avreich there, he was always very sharp, and he interrupted, he said, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. He's not a mushchet b'midos. It's just that he didn't think. He said, I'm sorry, midos is all about thinking. That's what he said. Midos is all about thinking. Like we said before, the teva of a person is indeed to react. The teva of a person is to be kodesh. To say that he didn't think before he spoke is another way of saying he just went with his teva. So how can you say that he's not a mushkos b'midos? That's exactly what he is, because he didn't think. A very, very sharp, deep remark. Don't say he's not a mushkos b'midos because he didn't think. Midos is all about thinking. And that's our discussion. Our discussion is, of course, we must trace the shoresh of the midos of kas, which is gaiva and a lack of emuna. But at least, b'hisbonus, with thinking, learning from the Yetzer Hara, b'tachbuna yisaseh l'chom l'chomo, use his own tactic against him, is a very commendable and a very profitable tactic, if only we can implement it. So the next time, inevitably this happens from time to time, we get upset, whether it's a spouse, a neighbor, a friend, in shul, in koilel, in streets, it makes no difference. And we are tempted to react, and on occasion maybe justifiably so. If we are able, just, as my father said, just count to 10, and if it's really important, try counting to 100, because you may discover afterwards that actually it's not so important. Then we too will be zeicha to what the Gemara says, that ha'olam miskayim, the world is sustained by those who are boilein pin b'shas meriba, who just are able to keep their mouths closed at the time of argument. And instead of being accused of being mushkos b'midos because he didn't think, let's try and be a mitzayin b'midos, because we will be misbeinim. As I said, this in theory is a very easy tactic to implement. In practice, it's perhaps not so. And it might be that we will slip up on occasion. But clearly, if we dive into the Rabbeinu Shalom, like all our Avodas HaMidos need Sefer Dishmaya, then we will be Zeicha Be'ez HaShem to improve our middle of Kaf, and be that category that Chazal spoke about, the kosher lichos, the noyach mirtzes. I wish you all be'ezus Hashem, a tzlocha rabba.
Ishkoh.